Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. In this episode, we have our sermon from August 2nd, 2020, looking at the parable of the weeds and the wheat from Matthew chapter 13. After you listen, be sure to read through the sermon discussion guide in the show notes. Here goes.
Dear fellow redeemed, we consider our gospel reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, the same chapter that we had our parable from last week. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? In this field, why would the wheat worry about the weeds? You might think of a couple simple answers. Well, sure, maybe there isn't much rain, and the wheat needs that rain to live. And if it gets choked out, if the drought comes, then the wheat will die. If the wheat doesn't have what it needs, if the wheat can't get the minerals from the soil, and if the weeds multiply around it, that wheat could be choked out. There would be no more. You might think it's just a matter of survival. The wheat just has to think about its own survival. And of course, it makes sense that the wheat would worry about the weeds. But why? Maybe the wheat has some existential crisis, and the wheat begins to think about its place in the universe and its purpose in the field and what the farmer wanted to accomplish by planting wheat. That the farmer wants to have a great harvest. That this wheat is going to go on to feed a family, feed a town, prevent a famine. And so the wheat wants to do its best. The wheat looks around at its relatives and might worry about the weeds. This isn't the life that I grew up with. This isn't what I remember from my youth. This isn't the set of circumstances that I feel equipped for. And maybe all I feel like I can do, the wheat might say, is put my head down and just do my thing, and maybe I can shut out what the weeds around me want to do, want to say, want to accomplish. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? Well, because the weeds don't belong in this field. In this parable, the farmer purchased good seed. And he purchased good seed for the purpose of attaining a wonderful crop and a wonderful harvest and being able to feed a family and feed a town. And the farmer perhaps went out of his way to find the best hybrid seed and the cleanest seed so that he would be able to maintain his farm and provide for all of these workers that we hear about in the parable, all of these workers who have families of their own, who depend on the success of this farm for their own livelihood. And the farmer says, this is what I've got to do. I've got to plant good seed and pray that the Lord provides rain at the proper time so that we can have a good harvest. Because, you know, the last couple of years haven't been there. But this year is looking different. This year, the wheat sprouts up, and it looks wonderful, until time goes on. This enemy, this one who has designs on the land, this one who wants to ruin the farmer, this one who perhaps wreaks havoc by committing eco-terrorism, he sows some weeds, some weed seed among the wheat. And not just any weed. We're not talking about a broadleaf that you have to hit with the Roundup. Or we're not talking about thistles. We're talking about a weed that looks exactly like the wheat in its early stages and isn't going to look different from the wheat until that very last day, shortly before the harvest, when the wheat is standing up all golden and ready for the harvest, and this particular weed is wilted over with a seed that is blackened by toxic mold or toxic fungi. Because the word that we have for the weed here, yeah, it's difficult today. The word that we have for the weed is a word for darnel. This particular weed looks exactly like the wheat in its early stages, except for some minor differences as the seeds sprout out, and it is very susceptible to this toxic fungi. And most importantly of all, if this wheat seed gets mixed in with the wheat and milled into flour, if there's only a little bit of it, well, you might be experiencing the effects of that other weed that has grown up in Michigan. You might experience a little bit of something like drunkenness, just out of your mind. But if there's a little bit too much of this darnel ground up into the flour, and then you'll have a stomach ache. You'll have delirium, a fever, food poisoning, and death. What sort of an enemy does this farmer have that this enemy would stop at nothing to destroy him? And so the farmer has his choices. He could go send his workers and root out the weeds now. Have a diminished harvest, but still have a harvest that is clean and mostly good and edible. Or he can just let it grow up and hopefully it's not too bad, and then just harvest it and mill it and say, well, we'll cut the price in half, but you need to cut it with some other flour that is purer. Maybe the farmer would be backed into a corner, and what he has to do is invest all sorts of time and energy and wages for all of his workers to separate out the seeds, the weed from the wheat, so that he has enough wheat to sow his seed again in that field the next year. And what would happen if the farmer just says, whatever, harvest it, and ignores the responsibility placed upon him in providing a clean food source for the people of that area? What would happen? At the very least, maybe a few tummy aches, or worse, death. Which families would be seated down to that first loaf of fresh bread only to sit down a few days later for the first funeral that they hadn't been expecting? And the farmer's reputation absolutely destroyed. His crop taken off the market. And then the enemy has his chance. The farmer is mortgaged to the hilt. He has no choice. He can't sell his crop. He is nearly bankrupt. He's maxed out his credit cards by trying to get some credit to pay for the wages of his workers to separate out the seeds of the weed from the wheat. And then the enemy comes. You don't want that wheat. You don't want that flour. Did you see his field? I walked by it the other week. I walked by it last week. Straight up politics, right? I walked by it and I saw all sorts of that dark colored darnel. And you don't want your little baby, your little loved one, to consume that toxic weed seed now, do you? Don't worry, I've got you covered. I've got good flour. I've got good wheat. So that you can rest assured that your family is safe. It'll just cost you a little bit more. And the options that this enemy would stop at nothing to bring financial ruin on the farmer, to bring famine on the area, to bring funeral upon a family. Why would wheat worry about weeds? If the wheat is in the field, the weeds are there too. Why would wheat worry about weeds? If the wheat has any compassion at all, it knows its purpose. And its purpose in this field is to bring forth a crop for the farmer so that people can live and survive and eat. But Satan wants to destroy God's good work. Have you ever been like that wheat? Maybe it's living in a different part of town than you grew up in. And you say to yourself, this is a little unfamiliar. This isn't the same household where, I just had this conversation the other day, the same place where it seems like nearly every household went to church, except for the rare exception. Maybe you live in the same area in which you grew up, but it looks different. Even though it's the same place, the same community, it's a different time. And you look around and you say to yourself, this is not the set of circumstances, this is not the living that I had expected for my family, this is not the sort of attitudes and mindsets and at least, you know, love and respect for the Word of God that I would want for my children. And you feel like that lone wheat stalk waving in the wind, surrounded by the weeds, and you're a little worried. And you wonder, wow, it would be nice to get together and talk with the other wheat. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? Maybe it's a purpose thing, where your eyes and your mind is so focused on heaven and on glorifying God here. But so many others around you want to tear you down, misrepresent what you believe, and discredit the Jesus whom we worship. And it worries you. Maybe your worry is different. Maybe your worry is for your loved ones, and wondering what kind of field they are going to grow up in. Is this part of the field, this little corner of the field that we call North America, going to have any wheat left in it by the time my children or grandchildren are growing up here? Or is it going to be overrun with weeds, spreading their noxious, toxic fumes, trying to destroy the good work that God wants to create? Why would wheat worry about weeds? Maybe it's worry for the weeds, because you know the harvest is coming. And you know the eternal fires that await the weeds. You know the eternal barn that awaits the wheat. But you care about those weeds. You talk with those weeds, and they don't seem so noxious, at least not right now. And they're actually pretty nice people, good neighbors. You have a lot in common. Why would the wheat care about the weeds? Because the wheat knows the harvest that's coming. And there's so much worrying going on. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? Because you see, it's not the purpose or the place of the creation to take the place of the Creator. We talked about that in a different sermon a couple weeks ago. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? You see, Christians can become complicit in the schemes of Satan when the wheat worries about the weeds. Christians can become complicit when we forget who we are and we start worrying about all the things and all the ideas and all the people around us instead of thinking about and worrying about and focusing on the purpose that God has for you and for me to grow up as a wheat and a harvest that will produce 30 or 60 or 100 times. But how often? How often Christians become complicit in the schemes of Satan as we, God's divinely planted wheat, start to worry about the weeds around us. And even more broadly, start to worry about anything and everything except our purpose as wheat. And we look at the weeds around us, and we look at the unbelievers around us, and they're fundamentally different mindsets that we do not see at the surface, but that are there. If the topic of spiritual, the afterlife comes up, or spiritual life comes up, you'll definitely see it. The Christian, instead of worrying for the afterlife that the weeds might face, become so spun up and wound up by all the worries around us that, just like the weeds in last week's parable, the worries of this life and the weeds of this life threaten to choke out the faith that God has planted. And even worse, as Christians forget their purpose in God's field. And as the wheat worries about the weeds, we become complicit in the schemes of Satan to destroy the work of our God. How often is it that we worry about all the things outside of our control rather than looking at the responsibility and the purpose that God has placed in our lives? Whatever your station in life may be, whether as a parent or a child, a married person or a single person, you've got that specific set of responsibilities that God had in mind for you and designed for you even before He created the world. And He planted you in this field, in this little corner of our field, of His field, that we call Ohio. And He says, you know what, Christian? You're not going to know what the harvest is going to look like until the harvest is here. And sure, you might have your ideas about the weeds around you. You might have your thoughts about what is going to be coming. But as for you, dear Christian, you're wheat. You've been planted by the Word of God, watered in holy baptism, in this field that has been bought by the blood of God Himself. That the Son of God shed His blood for this field to make you His own. And He planted you here to produce a crop, to give Him glory, to live a life as wheat among weeds, to live a life that is fundamentally different in your pursuits and in your passions, to live a life that is fundamentally different in what you engage in and don't engage in, to live a life that is fundamentally different in your purpose, in how you act and what you say, not because there's some thumb crushing you under God's law, but because you have been made to be different. You have been planted as the unique wheat in the field of God's world, with the absolutely unique purpose of one who has been bought and paid for by the blood of the Son of God, so that you can say with absolute confidence, Lord Jesus, come soon. Send your angels to harvest this world soon, because I am ready, not by my own thinking or choosing, but because you chose me and you made me your own. Why? Why would the wheat worry about the weeds when we have a greater purpose? And that worrying accomplishes little, if anything, other than Christians becoming complicit in the schemes of Satan when the wheat worries about the weeds. How about this instead? Rather than wheat worrying about weeds, we rejoice in the reality of the resurrection. That's what Jesus goes on to say. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will pull out of His kingdom everything that causes sin and those who continue to break the law. The angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there, at that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. That, yes, we have proper concern for those around us. But that concern is just like when the oxygen mask drops down from the plane. You put your own on first. The concern starts with the field of your own heart. The concern starts with your own household. It goes out from there. Because that's how Jesus works. Remember from last week? The sower still goes, the seed still grows. That's what Jesus wants to do. So think of it this way. This darnel shows itself to be the weed at the end. And all of its noxious efforts can be brought to naught when the angels come for the harvest. And that you as a Christian will be reaped and taken up to heaven where there is no more mourning or crying or pain. To think of it in the same way as Simon Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 4. That yes, Jesus suffered in this world. He suffered at the hands of sinful people. And don't be surprised, dear Christian wheat, when you do too. When you will have your reputation besmirched for what you believe. Don't be surprised when people will twist your words and try to cancel you for what you believe. We've talked about that too. Don't be surprised when others would do their best to point at you and say, "Dear friend, how foolish." Don't be surprised when the weeds around you act like weeds. But answer them with compassion. Because you are fundamentally different and have been planted in God's field by the Word of God itself. You've been made to be different so that you can be this wheat in the field. Why would wheat worry about the weeds? They don't. But they do. We don't worry about what sinful people will do, because sinful people will do sinful things. Just look in the mirror and you know that for a fact. Sinful people will do sinful things. And the same is true and even more true about the lives of unbelievers who do not have that new life of faith living within their heart. But you, as God's wheat, have been planted here. And the funny thing is that seed of the Word of God is part and parcel of who you are. That's kind of the cool part, that, and not to stretch the parable too much, but it's the same thing that we heard last week. That Word of God can create new life. Where previously it looked like there were only weeds. You could think of it this way. That your Heavenly Father knows, as He looks out on His field, and on this little corner of His field here in Ohio, He sees all the plants sprouting up, you living your life, and those around you doing the same. And your Heavenly Father knows and has in mind those weeds that you think are weeds now. And He has given to you the seed of the Word of God. And with that seed, He wants to do wonderful things. He wants to create faith where there hadn't been before. He wants to create life where there hadn't been before. He wants to change eternity for somebody who previously had been destined for the burn pile with the rest of the weeds. That's a vivid picture. I ask you to take one step further with it. And to envision if that's a vivid picture, I want you to think of it just one step further. Not as bundles of wheat ready for the barn, and piles of weeds destined for the burner. But people with the future, with an eternity, people that you and I know and care about very deeply. And that's why this might sound even offensive if I ask you to just dwell on that final harvest image just a tiny little bit, because that's the reality. That's the reality that is coming, that the wheat has a lot to look forward to, and the weeds, sure as hell, don't. That's the reality. And sure, the wheat might be all totally concerned about all the changes and all the frustrations and all the sin that they see and all the worries and what would happen then. That the wheat becomes so obsessed with trying to fix the field and uproot the weeds that they forsake the rejoicing in the resurrection and become complicit in the schemes of Satan. And how much better if that vivid imagery would move you just over that hump, you know, that hump that says, I don't want to say this, I don't want to tread on toes, and I find it awkward to talk about spiritual matters with somebody that I care about. What if that image of weeds destined for the burn pile would be enough to get you over the hump and say, you know what, I've got the word of life that can change this person's eternity. I've got the word of life that can create wheat out of weeds. Why would wheat worry about weeds? Sure enough, weeds might make you worry. Worry about what might be lost. Worry about how Satan might use people to try and destroy the Christian faith of others. But rather than worrying about weeds, Jesus calls you to be his wheat and to rejoice in the reality of the resurrection, that this Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. But we, as his wheat, are simply here to call, to talk, to say, I know who it is that has changed my eternity, and he will change yours too. That I don't care what you've done or left undone. What I do care about is which pile you're on at the harvest time. Why would the wheat worry about the weeds? We don't have to worry about them. We worry for them. We have compassion for them. We rejoice in the reality of the resurrection. Because Jesus has planted you here. And you are wheat. And the cool thing, we have his word. Amen. Mm-hmm.